You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
So in my role as an independent officer of the Legislative Assembly of BC, as a representative for children and youth, one of the things I do, which some of you will be aware of, is I review the deaths and injuries of children and youth who are receiving services of some kind, or their families were receiving services in the year before their critical injury or death. And every year I get about 200 reports of critical injuries and deaths. And I have reported on deaths in particular where domestic violence was a factor, such as the Christian Lee report, which was referenced here before, and I'm going to talk a bit about that tonight. But Christian Lee is not the only child, or Christian Lee and Sunny Park and his grandparents. That's not the only domestic violence death reported to my office. There's multiple deaths. But also there are multiple cases where there were suicides, attempt suicides, particularly by adolescents, including younger adolescents, where one of the factors that was in their life was exposure and witnessing domestic violence. So domestic violence has an impact, particularly in the population of vulnerable children and youth in British Columbia, and it's one that we need to understand. But I wanted to talk particularly about the report that my office did into the death of Christian Lee, who most of you will know because the case is, I think, fairly well known, although I think it's important to go back to when he died and was murdered by his father along with his mother and his grandparents. His father then killed himself. I think it's important to remember that after that murder, very quickly the response in the criminal justice system was, this was the random act of a madman, and you really can't do much about these things. These things just happen in society, so we have to accept them. So again, in my role, I'm independent, I'm neutral, I have a background as a judge, including being involved in setting up the domestic violence court in Saskatchewan, so I was pleased to hear the report about it today. But I think from my role, we had to look and investigate this death of a child because the child was known to the ministry, the family had involvement, and even though if initially the thought was the child had just a very passing involvement just a few months prior, there was a car accident which the mother alleged, Peter Lee, had attempted to crash the vehicle to kill the mother. So there was a report to the Ministry for Children and Families a few months prior. But actually, when we investigated Christian's life throughout his 6 years, we found that he had multiple instances where he witnessed or was exposed to domestic violence, including police coming out to calls at the house when he was just an infant. And so those didn't necessarily result in reports to the Ministry for Children and Families. They actually didn't really result in much of anything. And so I think one of the challenges I found, particularly when we started investigating very thoroughly the life of Christian Lee, what was that boy's like up into this horrific event in his life? So was it a random act of violence, or was, in fact, there a pattern of violence inside that family, and particularly perpetrated by his father, that presented some opportunities, which then drove me very much to look at, not only, you know, what do we learn from a tragic death, was it preventable? Certainly, was it a random act that had no element of preventability to it? Well, no. I found, in fact, that had there been a system to support women in particular fleeing relationships of violence and support children who witnessed and were exposed to violence, like Christian, that it was quite likely that we could have prevented Christian's death, his mother's death, and his grandparents' death, and perhaps even the suicide death of his father. And so I think that that's a very hard finding. But I think you'll see if you read the report, supported very much by the evidence in the investigation, but a completely different finding than the initial result, the initial statement. How can that happen? And I think that we've come quite a distance since that report was released, in particular to talk about where are the gaps and to make a very strong, clear public recognition, at least from my office and in my depth of involvement of this issue, that we do not have a system in British Columbia that is working effectively. And all due respect to those who are working to build it, because I know there are very good people, like the inspector here tonight, who are working. And I'm sad to say that that Langley project does not continue to operate at this point. I hope it gets started again, because it was a pilot project that operated for a bit and was shut down. So let's not forget that. And I think that we have to really promote their efforts for there to be effective systems. And when we talk about systems of support for victims, primarily women, if we look at, say, Sunny Park, Christian Lee's mother, she was unlike almost all of the victims you've heard about tonight, namely victims in the domestic violence literature research, tend to underestimate the level of risk that they face because either they've had a long history of violence, they may be marginalized, they may be poor, you don't know what they've dealt with in their life. They tend to underestimate and underreport. Sunny Park was different in that from almost the beginning she said, he's going to kill me. And I think he's going to kill me. He's attempted to kill me. You know, and there was a very active police investigator who was very strong to say to the Crown Prosecutor, I think he could kill her if he's released. I think, though, what's interesting is here you have a victim who's saying really clearly, he's going to kill me. And I basically what she's saying is, I need a safety plan. And I also am a mother of this young child. I'm going to be protecting the child. And, of course, she's capable to protect the child. She's a mother that's very much caring for her child. But the child's safety is dependent on her safety. So where was the risk assessment to her? If someone says to you, and I think the inspector is very strong about this, if someone even in the domestic violence side even says, I don't feel safe, it's because victim service workers are working with women and they can really provide such helpful information to say, you cannot lift the no contact order. If a victim service worker stands up in a court that I've ever been in and says, you cannot lift the no contact order, believe me, I don't lift the no contact order. I don't go over their head and say, oh, I don't think she knows what she's talking about. She knows a lot more than I know about what's happening. And what she says usually goes. And I think that that type of really close work, because that's a safety plan. The court doesn't manage the safety plan, but the court does some things that I think can be very valuable. But equally important to the criminal justice side is the work that's required in child welfare and the work required in the family justice system. The family justice system, especially, we can't talk about it at length tonight, but it's a civil justice system. It's considered a private law system where you buy your reconciliation of your dispute. It is not accessible for women that are marginalized. It is not accessible for women who may be Aboriginal, maybe from immigrant or minority communities, maybe from religiously different communities. There are significant barriers that exist, and it's not necessarily accessible with respect to hearing the views of the child. Because we're not always hearing the views of the child in that environment, and the children don't get represented. There are child view reports, but you know they're sporadic, they're limited. It's not clear what to use them for. And often in the family justice system, there should be a quicker remedy for domestic violence issues in the family justice system. It should be really quick, but it doesn't work very well. So that's a system that requires significant improvement. I know that they're looking at tabling a new Family Relations Act, and I encourage you to all look at that from the lens of domestic violence and your own experience and think, is this going to be adequate? And I know I certainly took a very strong position that there should be a definition of domestic violence in that act, and that while judges do apply it now in the best interest, they may be very reluctant, and that we need to make it easier to consider violence. But I'm going to end by saying something else, very obvious, but maybe if you don't practice in the system or work with kids, maybe less obvious. And that comes back to Christian Lee. Christian's death was a tragedy on many levels, and I feel very strongly that it could have been prevented. But one of the things that raised that risk of violence for Sunny Park was the fact that even though Peter Lee was arrested, detained, and then released, on his bail conditions, he had no contact with Sunny, the mother, but he had contact with the 6-year-old child. How do you have no contact with the mother who is the custodial parent de facto of the child? Well, the only way you can do it is if you have supervised visitation for children, a system of supervised visitation, which we have in other provinces, Ontario, Alberta, and so on. We don't have it in British Columbia. So what happens? So he has contact with her, sees the child as a way to manipulate his relationship with her, and then says, oh, well, I just had to exercise my access to the child. And so we cannot forget when we look at this that the tragedy on several levels also reveals the fact that we have not invested adequate public resources in basic elements of the system like supervised visitation centers. Do I recommend that children get marched off to supervised visitation centers all the time? No, I don't. But children in domestic violence relationships will still have contact with both parents. That will happen. That is a very recognized principle. It's very hard to go against that until there's been a determination. They need to be able to do that in a safe way that does not expose the victim to greater degree of risk. And you can't always put another family member in the way because they can also be the victim of violence and aggression. So I think we have to also remember that all of these systems, our civil justice system, our family civil justice, our child welfare system, and our criminal justice system, need to be renewed and refreshed. There's a lot of work to be done in British Columbia. I'm glad that some of it is being done. And I can certainly say that, you know, after the Christian Lee report, you know, the work that has been done with the coroner service to do a death review panel of the 70 deaths pertaining to domestic violence over a five-year period was a very good thing. I want the coroner service to do a regular review like they do in Ontario, the death review panel for domestic violence. They haven't committed to that yet. I hope they will, because annualized reporting on how are we doing is important. Because it's one thing to identify a problem, it's another thing to identify what needs to be improved, and it's another thing to annually and regularly report on whether we're making improvement and whether we know there is that accessibility to the system, there is safety planning, there are resources. It's not enough when someone says, I think my partner that I'm separating from is going to kill me, to do nothing. We know what the tragic consequences of that can be. And I think we've seen too much tragedy in this province with respect to that. And because we, in particular, failed Christian Lee, I think we should do a much better job with other children. Thank you.